your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
It's time for Scuttlebutt Ultras. Quick takes from our Patreon Ultras, sharing their soundest thoughts straight from the heart. Your voice, your moment.
Welcome to another edition of Scuttlebutt Ultras. It's Ultras only today. It's me, Cedar, with Dan, the Bastard, and Alex Diaz. What's up, guys?
Where's Cameron at?
Yeah, did he get kidnapped or something?
Well, he got hacked again. We hacked him again because we really wanted to record, and he's busy. He said something about a comedy show, and I don't know whether he's performing or he's just going to one. I don't know, but we have some stuff to talk about.
So I think we can break pretty big news. He gave us the password to the podcast, and so I'm going to just share it with everybody. Let me pull it up. I believe it is I Love Liverpool Forever 1234. So
oh wow,
anybody that wants to get on the pod, that's all you got to do. I didn't realize he was a Liverpool fan, but I guess secretly deep down everybody
deeply
is
deeply closeted. But that's okay. Now that the secret's out, you know, just come on over.
Either that or he's still on a bender after drinking that whiskey during the last game. So maybe he's just been sipping whiskey this entire time, and that's why we can't get a hold of him.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, wouldn't you be on a bender after that victory?
Yeah, I'm still on a bender. I've been completely, if I was worthless at work before the game, you should have seen me afterwards. So I'm assuming everyone did enjoy the game, right?
Oh yes.
Top five best moment of your life?
Definitely top five Sounders viewing experience. Yeah. I didn't get to travel up to go see the game, but it was okay because I got to watch it with my dad. And the last time that we were in a big cup final was CONCACAF Champions League. And at that point in my life, I was down visiting my now ex-fiance, and we were watching it, and you know, it was fine, but like she's not a Sounders fan. In fact, I think she's a Messi fan. I think she's a pretty big Messi fan. And knowing that feels pretty good to have won on Sunday. So it was great that I got to watch it with my dad. I mean, you could feel the energy from even just watching it on TV, like all the people there. They broke the attendance record. You know, they packed in every single person they could into that building, and you could feel it. And it was awesome.
Yeah, it was electric watching it on TV, but Alex was there. How did it feel in the stadium, Alex?
Man, it was like a blur. Like, the game felt that it went by so quick. And I know earlier we talked about, like, how do you feel about getting beer thrown on you? I'm like, I didn't care that I was covered in beer at the end of the game, because it was electric. Like, that's my first cup final, and seeing the stadium as packed as it was just, I was amazed. And it was mainly green. There was a few pink, but not as much as I thought it would.
I was going to ask that because from the TV, the pink jerseys really stood out on the broadcast. And so I was just wondering, in fact, in the intros, I saw some pink jerseys in the ECS. So I was wondering if, do you see pink jerseys in ECS or did they get kicked out?
Oh, they got kicked out.
That is great to hear.
Yeah, they were. Good. The ECS security was doing a good job.
That is outstanding. So with that said, I mean, this was your first final, right, Alex?
Yeah.
First final as a Sounders fan, mine too. And I'm still riding high on a buzz, and I just can't believe that we beat Messi. Not only, well, I can believe we beat Messi because I felt good about the game. I just can't believe that we bossed Miami the way that we did, to the point that we caused them to crash out and cry at the end of the game and, you know, just act a fool. So that was outstanding.
And the thing that gets me too is that wasn't even our full strength team. Like we're missing two DPs.
No Danny Musovski, right? These guys who have
no new who
staples in our starting lineup. No new who.
Fry doesn't play this tournament.
And if you were going to say that we were going to shut down Messi and the Barca boys, you would think new who would have been on the field from a defensive perspective, right? With this, just his ability to completely close down that the left side of the field for us. And so Reed Baker Whiting did a wonderful job. All these young guys stepped up, and as I was reflecting on it, I'm sure this is hyperbole, but I felt like it with the story of the game. It was kind of like the American story. I felt like I was watching Fifa Goes West, where we have all of these young players local to Seattle, and the way they beat Messi and the Barca boys was they worked harder. They worked harder in the practices leading up to this. They worked harder the entire year. And you finally got to see the fruits of the labor, and that, you know, that the idea that work actually does, hard work does provide victories. And you can win off of cohesion, hard work, and beat some of the most talented soccer players. Regardless, they're all old now too, and maybe they're finally on a decline. But that was one of my big takeaways. It was a Brian Schmetzer win, because they did what they believed what Brian Schmetzer's principles are, and it really worked on the field, and it was exciting. And they deserved it. These boys deserve every accolade that they get. How do y'all feel about the? So the narrative coming out of this is if you watch the national news or even the world news, it's less about Seattle and more about what happened after the game. And so do y'all feel like that is taken away from some of Seattle's accolades?
In a way, no, because I feel like that's for anybody who is going to see that story, who wouldn't otherwise have known about the League's Cup. I feel like, you know, they weren't going to, aside from it being Messi in the final, and unless they're like tracking Messi's every move, which there are a lot of people who do that. For anybody else who's just a casual worldwide soccer fan, you know, that might have kind of spurred them on to be like, oh, well, why did Miami crash out? And then see like, oh, because the Sounders skunked them 3-0. So I don't mind it from that perspective, because I think anybody who's watched that game as a Sounders fan, you know what that feels like, you know, to win that big game. I mean, it really felt like an MLS Cup final with just a lot less run-up. That's kind of what it felt like. It's like, oh shit, we're playing, you know, MLS Cup basically against Inter Miami, even though it's not, obviously, but that's kind of what it felt like in a very compressed amount of time. So I don't think it takes away from anything. I think it just kind of adds to the lore of it, of how deep under their skin that we got, that, you know, reportedly Messi was saying stuff to Pedro de la Vega and Obed on the field during the game. And apparently it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just standard trash talk, but another Sounders podcast reported that he said to Obed, during the game, "You are shit and you'll never leave MLS." And whether or not that, I mean, I want to hear what you got, your guys' opinions on this are, because I just, like, not that I'm a Messi fan or anything, I didn't really care about Messi before, and now I'm like, you know, afterwards I'm like, okay. But it just feels like a very surprising, if that were to be true, that just feels very surprising to me. Like, I wouldn't imagine him to be capable of, like, an extremely dick move towards a young footballer who's building their career and probably grew up idolizing Messi, right? I mean, what do you guys feel like?
What you thinking about it, Alex? How did you feel there in the stadium, you know, seeing the clash and then the aftermath of all the BS that's coming out with it's sounding like, if you believe the reports, it sure sounds like Messi and his friends are maybe got their bitch game on really high.
No, I think that basically the run-up to the game was that it was Miami's final. They were going to win. Like, Seattle, they expected Seattle just to bend over and let them do whatever they were going to do and win Leagues Cup. And when they saw that Seattle was on their ass the whole game and Messi was getting frustrated because Obed was on him the whole game, he would give a pass and Obed would give him a nice little bump. I don't know if you guys caught that. And then the team was complaining the whole game about they were touching Messi too hard, and he's over there crying, asking for a foul. And I think they got in his head, and we saw that in the second half when he missed that one-on-one chance. That 9 times out of 10, I see him make that shot.
Yeah, and how much was that shot, you know, just him missing, because even the best players do miss, or how much of it was you have Thomas charging at him, making himself big, and then everything going on with the atmosphere of the crowd, which even though you saw pink jerseys, you could hear that it was a Sounders-friendly crowd. You could hear the boos every time Messi touched the ball, and I want to thank you, Alex, for being there and helping with those boos every time Messi touched the ball. And so I think that some of the environment helped with getting in his head and putting that ball, what, over, right? He sailed it?
Yeah, he sailed it up to was it, the Hawk's Nest?
Yeah, he put it in the Hawk's Nest, gave somebody a gift, said, "Here, take that." I don't know. I think we will never know exactly what Messi, some of the shit talk that was on the field. We probably shouldn't know. That should probably stay between the players. But you can tell by watching, especially after the fight, there's that one clip where they're getting in the line so that Messi can go get their participation trophy for getting their asses kicked by the Sounders. You can see Messi jawing with Pedro from across the field, and Pedro turned, look, and just being like, what's happening? What are you doing? What are you saying? And it was in their heads. One of the big takeaways for me too is as I said before this game, that the MLS should have said, I feel like the advertising for Messi coming to the league is, come look at Messi, come to your hometown and do fancy things with the ball, right? Come look at the circus. Come look at the Harlem Globetrotters of the MLS, if you will, as they, do something fancy and put the ball in the back of the net. There's nothing your team can do to stop it. And they should have said, hey, come support your team as they take on the best, because if they beat the best, they will be the best. And I think we finally got to that arc where that's the overlying statement that people are saying is the fans have turned on Messi a little bit. It started with Minnesota and their pink phony club. And you saw it now after this game. A lot of people are, I think MLS fans sided with Seattle or are happy with Seattle's performance, but just finally getting to see Messi and company whenever they don't get handed whatever they expect to be handed to them. And it is a thing of beauty, and we beat the best. So I think that makes us the best right now.
I think
so.
Yeah, I think we've been one of the best post-Club World Cup. think we're 9-1-4 since Club World Cup.
It really makes those people like myself that was begging for a summer signing feel a little silly now coming out of that. And maybe we should give Craig his flowers in the way that they built this team and saying, hey, yeah, a deep team is able to compete, and maybe misunderestimating what Brian could bring to the table and getting these boys energized and ready to go. So I should probably stop questioning what they're doing.
Well, Dan, as a Liverpool fan also, you know, it's nice because then you get that satisfaction of like all these big signings over the summer, right? And then on the flip side, as a Sounders fan, you get that trophy with, you know, the hometown heroes, right? I mean, it's kind of the best of both worlds. So, well, yeah, I guess we can't really complain. You know what I'm saying?
That's probably why Cameron chose that password then, so that he could have the best of both worlds.
Absolutely. He just wants it both ways.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. He wants to be a fan of the best Premier team and the best MLS team.
Oh, well, you guys didn't hear that his Twitter account's password was, "We have Paul Rothrock."
Oh, is it?
Yeah. That's why.
Yeah, well. Well, that's why he got hacked, huh?
Yeah. After Brian leaked it, it all went downhill.
So
can we just
go ahead?
Can we just talk about Brian Schmetzer for a second? I mean, if you guys haven't watched his post game conference, his press conference that he gave, I mean, it's incredible. I've always enjoyed Brian, but I mean, he is just so impressive. He's like absolutely so impressive. He just keeps cementing his legacy here. I mean, it's really, really incredible. It's really incredible to step back and kind of look at the totality of what he's helped build, and then, you know, think about like the future too. I mean, what are the kind of the realistic heights that you guys think this team could achieve come, say, next Club World Cup? You know what I'm saying? Like if we win Champions Cup again and punch our ticket to Club World Cup in 2029, I mean, with this kind of organizational momentum and just the sheer buy-in from the staff, the front office, the players, you know, the owner, right? The fans, like everybody's bought in, and we have our disagreements about, you know, certain things, how things are done. But like, I mean, that was Sunday was a moment of just sheer unity and like, you know, being the underdog, but like making Inter Miami just look, it wasn't even making them look bad. I mean, we were just better. I mean, we were just better.
They wanted it more. We wanted it more.
They wanted it more. What, and with you know, with second string guys, third string guys in a lot of instances, what kind of heights do you see this club going to in the next kind of Club World Cup cycle, right?
Is Brian going to be here for the next Club World Cup?
That's a good question.
Honestly, I hope he is, but if he moves on to becoming the manager of Team USA, I would not be mad at that.
Well, it would probably be one of the best things to happen to the U.S. men's team. But what's the show on 93.3 that he talks on every Tuesday? Soft Dickie or whatever?
Softy and Dick, I think. Yeah. Interesting choice of names.
Yeah, it's I don't necessarily listen to them much because who listens to the radio? I'm under the age of 50, so that's probably their target audience. But I did see the clip where he was saying, you know, he mentioned again, this is the second time that he mentioned that he would love to coach that team. So
I think that's a natural that would be a natural progression for him. Otherwise, I don't ever see him moving on to another MLS team. I don't see him coaching in Europe or any other league, right? I mean, That would be very shocking to me. I feel like coaching the U.S. would be a natural progression, or he'd just coach the Sounders till he, you know, kicks the bucket.
Right? I could also see a world where he decides to retire at some point too, maybe have an advisory role in the front office. But that's, you know, here, there. I think if, you know, it's this is just what this club does. They every 3 years they win a trophy, right? I think someone asked him asked Brian in the press conference how meaningful this one is and where does this League's Cup rank as far as everything that Brian's won, and Brian said ask me again in 2028 basically, right? I'll get you an answer in 2028, which is I guess when they're scheduled to win their next cup. I would hope the next Club World Cup, one, that we're able to get to it, but we're on the right path to get back. We're doing all the right things to get back to the Club World Cup. I would hope that maybe we would be in a little bit more of an even draw bucket with some of the teams, not the group of death. If we were in Miami's bucket, I think that we would have won game, right? Like if we would have been in a different bucket, you have to say that we would have at least won a game and possibly even moved out with the way that we played.
I think we win.
I think so, yeah. But I also think I think it was almost better that we were in the group of death because it really pushed our guys to the limit and also gave them confidence where they're able to like play against some of the best teams in the world and see like, oh, I can hit that extra level I never knew I had, because when, you know, they hadn't been tested like that. And I think maybe if we were in an easier group and we make it out, right, but obviously the chances of moving on winning the whole thing are slim to none, I think in the long run it probably turned out in our favor even better to get our asses kicked, right, but not so badly, you know what I'm saying, but like to give them that confidence of like, wow, we can hit that extra level. What do you think, Alex?
No, yeah, I think even though we didn't get a result in Club World Cup, we saw that our players were able to compete and keep the game competitive. We saw a 2-1 or a 1-0 against, I think it was 2-1 against Botafogo. It was competitive the whole way through. We played Atletico Madrid and it was 3-1, but it was still competitive. And then we played PSG and we lost 2-0, but that game was also very competitive. We didn't get blown out. The Pink Phony Club played PSG the next round and they got blown out. So I think that's just a testament of our coach, of our team, of our players, the organization. And this team has bought in to the whole culture of work together. This is a team. Like, you see the guys in the interviews, they ask them, well, how do you, they ask Pedro, oh, how do you feel about being the player of the League's Cup? And he's like, this is a testament to a team. Like, this is not a me team. This is us. This is we. Like, it wouldn't be possible for me to get this award if it wasn't for the team.
One of the biggest testaments to that point is whenever you listen to the players talk, they're repeating the things that you know Brian has said. Because that's what they believe. So that's a big testament to that. For the game, on the field, it got testy. In the crowd, did it get testy in the crowd too? Like, was there that same energy with having Miami jerseys around? And as we just continue to, you know, there by the 80th minute, you kind of had an idea we were going to win. How did that feel in the stadium, Alex?
It was, you would hear like the O's, like when Miami missed their chances. And, you know, during the stadium, it felt like the energy felt good. Like being an ECS, we just felt like we just kept the energy going. I think we helped push the team. And I went ahead and rewatched the game. I rewatched it twice now. I watched it in English and then I rewatched it last night in Spanish. And I was in the second half, Miami really like put us under the pressure. And, you know, Brian Smetcher made subs. He put in Georgie. And right away he went, and he won us that penalty to help, you know, ice the game out a little bit. And then we get the third, Rothrock, you know. Rothrock getting the third, it's just, you know, storybook ending.
Playing from the nine, too, right?
Yeah, playing as a nine. Cool. And as I'm celebrating the goal, I can't finish celebrating the goal, and the referee blows the whistle. And, like,
incredible.
And then I just, like, I get emotional because it's just, like I'm proud to be a Sounders fan. And it almost felt like I was also a part of that game. So, like, that win was not only for the players, but it was for us, the fan base, and the whole city.
Yeah.
So do you think with that win, do you think that's going to spur more people coming in and we can reverse some of these declining numbers in the stadium trend?
Yeah, I think so. I think with this win, more people that it's their first Sounders game and they live in Seattle and they're like, oh, let's go because Messi's coming to town. They're like, oh, they're playing the Sounders. Let's see what the Sounders have. And then they see, you know, Sounders skunk them 3-0, and they're like, you know what? Like, we have this we can watch this team every week. And starting next season, they're going to have a new supporter plan that you can come join us in ECS for only $19.74 a game.
Nice. There we go. Get butts in seats. That's what it's all about. Well,
the front office has been doing a great job with bringing people in and making people feel like they're part of the club and giving you that experience that, like, you felt like you are part of the club. I couldn't imagine. I don't feel like I missed out by watching the game at home. I feel like I missed out with the post-game celebration and the interaction that you had there in the ECS with the players. And I'm sitting here watching the highlights and stuff of the players coming up, holding the trophy up to the fans. Oh. And I bet that was just an amazing feeling.
Yeah, it was great. It was great that the players came and were willing to share this moment with us because their families were all on the field, but they took time to come, you know, come give us a little speech, you know, hold up the trophy and give us our little moment with them. That was great.
That's so cool. That's awesome.
So I think this is a good spot for us to take a break. So we're going to let y'all listen to Cameron for just a couple minutes, and then we will be right back.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month that'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounder Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
And we are back. So we were just chatting off the air while Cameron was telling y'all about the benefits of all the cool things that you get to experience whenever you're a member here at Scuttlebutt. But we were talking about so I wanted to ask a question for you, Alex. With everything going on and Leagues Cup has now come out and give punishment, do you think there should be punishment from MLS, or do you think Leagues Cup kind of just covered it?
I think MLS has to do something. And I think that Leagues Cup set the bare minimum, or they set the standard that MLS can follow. But if MLS doesn't do anything, then that's going to raise, you know, a few eyebrows. It's going to be...
What I want to know is, like, isn't Leagues Cup property of both MLS and Liga MX, right?
Yeah,
when it's convenient for Don.
Well, that's kind of like that's like halfway MLS's decision already, right? Like, they had to have been involved in that decision. I mean, I know nothing about the corporate structure of all of that, but I'm assuming. Right, that they were involved in some capacity in that decision. So you would think that, I don't know, like, I'm of the opinion that Suarez should get just kicked out of the league.
Yeah, lifetime ban. Get him out of here.
This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. You can't look. You have, especially because it's Messi. You have children all around the world watching this game. These are their role models, right? And if they're allowed to behave like this and get away with it, look, nobody gives a shit about a Leagues Cup suspension. Half the posts I've seen online from, like, you know, Reddit, you know, it'll be the soccer subreddit, whatever, half the people are calling it the League Cup. They don't even know what this competition is. You know, they don't even know the proper name, right? So I'm like, the point being, a lot of people are tuning in. They're not seeing what is, you know, blah, blah, blah. If Luis Suarez is being broadcast all over the world, him spitting on, you know, Gene Ramirez, our head of security, then that's reprehensible. That's morally bankrupt behavior. He needs to be out of the league. That's not okay. We can't normalize this. And again, no, a 6-game Leagues Cup suspension? Whatever. Like, who cares?
He's going to...
Right? They gave Dempsey an MLS suspension for U.S. Open Cup, right?
For...
A much less...
For
help, like,
for helping,
you know,
the referee with his notebook. Know what I mean? Like, the referee did not know how to use his notebook, and Dempsey fixed it for him.
Yeah.
Dempsey was in... He was morally right to do that. Yeah. You know, that was a righteous action, even if it's against the rules.
Right,
you
yeah.
know? It was okay for him to do that.
And he used no bodily fluids.
No, it wasn't.
Exactly.
It wasn't against the rules. They made a rule for it now. He created a new rule. He's inspirational.
He set the standard.
There you go. No, yeah. But talking about Suarez and Busquets suspension, they're going to retire. Suarez can't even run. You seen when he was chasing Pedro?
Yeah, but those passes, though. I mean, look, that's the thing. I mean, Miami had those chances, and boy, were they really, really good. I mean, we kind of all thought that they were going to get a couple of chances and, you know, probably put them away, and they got really close to doing that.
Well, kind you know, putting away chances isn't something for everybody.
We had our fair share. We
Exactly.
Yeah, Jesus should have had a goal.
But I will say on the second shot that they missed, that I think by looking at the body language, especially last night, it looked like he was going to go near post, but he saw Thomas go down, so he switched it up last minute and he hit it wide.
Nice.
So he just got in his head. That's big boy Thomas.
They also looked like after they missed the second goal, that they kind of looked like they knew that it's not their day, and that's pretty much it too. There was a lot of negative body language that they had the whole game, but you could see it there, at least from the TV, was that was their chance and they lost it.
No, but it was. I'm happy. I'm glad that they broadcasted the brawl on the national TV.
Now, what about that the second brawl, the brawl with the fans outside? Have y'all seen those clips on Reddit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I seen the clip, but so I was still in the stadium when it at the time that it allegedly happened.
I'm really surprised that we haven't heard more of that, because it's I have not seen it on. I think the only news outlet I've seen it on is like the New York Post, which is I don't believe anything they ever write. So I don't know. It's right. Yeah. It's like, it's
I know. That's the...
No. So maybe it could be MLS, trying to put this under the rug, 'cause they just want to deal with one bra and not two. Like, it wouldn't surprise me.
They want the spitting to be the worst thing that happened there.
Yeah, and not the trash cans get thrown afterwards. Yeah.
Not the trash cans, the traffic cones, the unconscious man in a Sounders jersey on the ground getting repeatedly beat by a man in a pink jersey over and over based on this video. It's a violent video.
With Messi
it's
on the back.
It's really, it's I almost wish it was just AI, right? Because that's horrible. I mean, it's horrible to think about that kind of violence being right here in our home stadium, right? I mean, that's terrible. We don't want to see that anywhere, right?
We
see, but especially when it happens in your backyard, you're like, wow, that's really not okay. And I get everybody's like, game's back, let's finally, people are finally taking soccer seriously in America. And I think one of the hallmarks of American soccer culture so far is that it's blended so many different kind of supporter cultures from all over the world, with drums and stadiums, chants, scarf culture, tifos, all this kind of stuff that's been, it's really this great amalgamation, this really great hodgepodge of everything from out in worldwide soccer culture. But this is definitely one of the parts that hasn't really seemed to be present compared to other American sports in this country, and it's definitely one that we don't want to be propagated whatsoever. It's one of the nice things about going to a soccer game in America. You know, it's a family friendly atmosphere,
Yeah, you don't get heated.
Things get heated, especially, you're going to a rivalry match. Like, I watched a video of, I think it was either Toronto fans going into CF Montreal Stadium, right? And everybody's like shouting at each other and like flipping each other off and all that. Like, that's great. As long as there's no physical harm done to anybody. I love the vitriol. That's awesome. That's what makes rivalries so great. You expect that at a Timbers game, something like that. But when it devolves into violence, I mean, it's horrible. And if you let players, the people that we're all here to see, get violent outside of the confines of the game and not get punished properly for it, then that's a problem. Because again, you have a lot of, not just kids, but just everybody. I mean, everybody's watching. A lot of people who are impressionable are going to be influenced by that. And especially if there's a lack of consequences, bringing it back to how does MLS deal with Suarez and Busquets throwing his, you know, really weak jab, right? Like, it's not even a punch, but still, he tried. I mean, he tried. He really tried his hardest. And by that token, like even though it's in defense, like, I mean, Reagan should face consequences for what he did. And I think he had every right to do what he did by throwing the guy to the ground, right? Because they didn't start it. They finished it.
Yeah,
the
John Bell.
Bell that suplexed somebody?
Bell was doing his Seahawk tryout. He's ready for Sunday.
There should be consequences.
Here's what's going to happen. Right? MLS is going to suspend Gene Ramirez for the rest of the season. they're going to ban Steven for life. And then what they're going to do is they're going to take Reagan's ACL and they're going to tell John Bell that he can't play for 2 years.
And then they're going to deduct 10 points from Everton.
Deduct 10 points from Everton.
Yeah.
And then they're going to take away the trophy.
Knew who will get suspended, deduct 10 points from Everton, and they may just take away the trophy from us and give it to Miami, right?
And then they're going
to that's who it was supposed to go to in the first place.
Yeah,
right?
That was the plan.
They already had Miami's name engraved.
Did they really? I heard that.
I think that's
been going around, and I don't know if I believe that.
They were ready. They were ready for it.
No, yeah. it's AI. They got the 23 when they won in 23.
That's awesome. So the game's over. It was one of the greatest games that I've watched as a Sounder fan, as an admittedly young Sounder fan. It was still one of the greatest games. And listening to other people talk about it too, I get the feeling that a lot of people feel like it was one of the best Sounders games of all time. You know, we made Miami crash out. They're still probably in their mansions back there crying, and good for them. Maybe they got some golden tissues or something. The game's over with, but the year is not. So we do have more games coming up this year in MLS play. When's our next game coming up?
Wait, before we move on, there was another crash out.
By
the Barca boys. Messi crashed out, I want to say, 2 days ago on Wednesday against Valenzuela.
Did he really?
At halftime, yeah. Once they got back out of the dressing room, he went straight at one of the players. And I put a comment. I said, oh, the guy must have told him, what happened in Seattle?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
so, I mean, good. I think we're still in their heads. We got to charge him for rent.
Oh, man. Well, in this economy? Absolutely. Jesus.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. One of the headlines, Lionel Messi in tears before scoring goal in emotional Argentina versus Venezuela. Yeah, look at that. There's Messi still crying a couple days later as he plays Venezuela.
Man, boy, they really had a tough job, huh? Beating a baseball nation.
Yep.
What a monumental task.
Good for him. Good for Messi.
Yeah, good for him.
Glad we're finally at the Miami's a bad guy arc. So that's
it took a little bit, but yeah, we got there.
Sounders
we got
started there. The downfall. Look at us. We're always setting the trend.
Hey, just like my Cowboys ending Tom Brady's career there in the playoffs at Tampa Bay. Maybe this will be the beginning of the end of Messi and the MLS, and we can move on.
Dak took one for the team that against the Eagles too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, look. A league knows how to handle somebody spitting.
Yeah.
Did he get fined or not?
No, he got I don't know. I have not seen the long-term punishment, but he was removed from the field immediately. And that was kind of one of my questions about this whole thing is these guys, you know, they threw punches and then spit on our head of security and then just got to go and get their second place medal like nothing had happened. Like, and I was just like beside myself, like,
yeah,
why are they still on the field? Why weren't they removed from the field?
I think.
And
it's hard because it didn't technically happen during the game. That's kind of where it's in the gray area. So,
but I feel like that it almost like makes it even worse, right? Because in the confines of you know, professional athletic competition, right? When violence happens like that, you can kind of chalk it up to, oh, blah, blah, blah. heat of the moment. The referee is directly responsible for discipline. You would imagine some kind of repercussions, either in the form of talking to, yellow card, red card, blah, blah. In the NFL, when you see the spitting incident when Jalen Carter spat on Dak Prescott, you know, before the game even started, right? Because it wasn't in the confines of play, they're say what you want about the NFL, because they're not above criticism at all. But it feels like if people were throwing punches after a game, you know, there would be in the NFL, there would be immediate and swift consequences towards the involved parties, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't just go get your second place medal, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like that wouldn't happen. Well, they don't have second place medals. Yeah. In NFL, but you know, I get your point.
Yeah, you're first or last in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. But it's really interesting to see like how two different professional sports leagues in this country handle similar situations.
Right? I just wonder what had happened if it had been one of our players spitting on them.
Oh, exactly.
Right?
Nobody's even asked that question.
Yeah. How would the league react?
You're the first person I've heard ask that question. Exactly. 100%. Like, what if somebody spat on Messi, right?
Oh, they would have got shot.
Right? Exactly. Like, you still, I'm still on online, you know, and I'm watching Inter Miami posted some highlights of Messi taking some corner kicks in that game. And, you know, you go read the comments and everything was about Messi the GOAT. And I'm trying to figure out, to me, he's Messi the ghost in this game. So that's, you know, not Messi the goat.
That was his only highlight, was taking those corners. Did they put the shot that he missed?
No.
Well, we all know who the real goat is.
Paul Rothrock.
Yeah.
Paul Rothrock.
Yeah, Brian said so. So speaking of Brian and Paul Rothrock and the goat, we have LA Galaxy next, right?
Yes, next Saturday.
Next Saturday. Okay.
Oh, we got to play them again?
A week from now.
How many times
do we have to beat them? You know.
Oh, and then after that, we play Miami on Tuesday.
We have Miami coming up for a short rest. So you think that we're going to go throw starters at LA Galaxy, especially since it's a Western Conference team and that's, you know, the points mean a little bit more in the West. Well, I guess not, since LA Galaxy is, what, last in the West? They're, you know, one of the worst teams in the league this year. Got a CONCACAF berth. But
I think what should happen in a perfect world is MLS suspends all of the culpable parties from Inter Miami, right? And, you know, in fairness, you know, deals out consequences for Jackson Reagan, John Bell, right? Because that's, you know, even though they were right to do what they did, in my opinion, there still should be consequences for violence. And what happens then is you have a very neutered Inter Miami team that we go and play down in Fort Lauderdale. They don't even play in Miami. And we should literally just roll out our starting Tacoma Defiance lineup. Like, seriously. I know that they probably won't and can't because of roster rules, but in a perfect world, that's what you should do. And that's my opinion.
So I as much fun as I would like to see Tacoma Defiance beat a neutered Miami team, it's you know, looking forward, what we're sitting fourth in the West right now with LAFC points in hands right behind us, and so the season's not over with, and I think we still need to rack up some points here. So, and I think we can. I mean, there's no indication that we're going to, now that we won a cup, that we're just going to stop. Right, like there's no indication of that.
No, yeah, even the boys came out and said we're worried about the next one. Like,
oh,
we're worried about the next game.
And I think it's I think it's kind of fun that we get to go back and we get to play. You know, there's it's just going to create a lot of narratives whenever we get to go back and we play Inter Miami. Hopefully, without some of their worst defenders on the field, if MLS is just. But I'm excited for that game. Right. you know, especially since the stakes are low, like we lose that game, we're gonna be like, yeah, we got the trophy, right? Like you want to see the trophy that we got from y'all, and then if we win that game, it's just proof that we own the bought culture, right? They tried to buy their way championships, and it hasn't worked except for that one Leagues Cup that they won. Well, they did win the Shield too, but you know, the Shield wasn't super important until they won it, and then the MLS is like, oh, well, that's how you get into CONCACAF. Look at that.
Yeah, right. I think this kind of leads me into a question for you guys, because the only season that the Sounders have won two trophies in the same year while being in MLS was back in 2014, when we won both the Supporters Shield and the US Open Cup. And it's the only time it's happened for the Sounders. And I'm asking you guys, if we were to win MLS Cup this season, would the Leagues Cup plus MLS Cup be a more impressive double than the Supporters Shield and the US Open Cup, in your guys' opinion?
I think it would, just based on where the league is now compared to where it was 10 years ago. Like 10 years ago, we didn't have, I don't know, like you could, you know, question, like tell me yes or no, but did we have as many big names in the league now as we did 10 years ago? And with the new teams, we have, 30 teams in the league now? I don't know how many teams were there back then. So, like, it's just harder to win an MLS Cup now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a resounding yes, absolutely. One, because I'm paying attention, and so it matters to me. Two, the law of recency bias. Yeah, it's happening now, so I'm feeling the emotions now. But also, I think, you know, we're playing soccer, right? We call it soccer. We're playing soccer, but we're in America, and we as Americans look at the end of the season trophy as the apex of what it is, mm-hmm. to win, right? And so the winner of MLS, the MLS champion, is the winner of the MLS Cup. Because that's the way we do it. That's one of the things that we held on to. We keep the Supporter Shield because, you know, it does measure, really, if you think about it, measures how well you did throughout the whole season. But we're not playing every team, right? We're not playing every team, so it's not an apples to oranges comparison to the Premier League's championship, because they play every team twice, and it's a little bit different than us. And so I think, yeah, getting two trophies out is with it being the Leagues Cup and the MLS Cup would be probably one of the best Sounders years, if not the best Sounders years we've ever had. And then with who we do it with too, right? This is a team made up of Seattleites. This is a team made up of our neighbors. And that should really get Sounders fans excited that this team represents mm-hmm. the heart of Seattle, right? Seattle's a really cool city once. I think Seattle's a really cool city. I was going to say something mean about Tech Bros, but then I stopped myself. So that's what that little vocal pause was.
Don't you work in tech?
Yeah, I work in tech. Still, that doesn't mean that you know.
Well, that means he knows what he's
talking
about.
Friendly fire.
Yeah, yeah.
That's tech on tech violence.
Yeah, that's another podcast about how many rich people are in Seattle and how many homeless people are in Seattle. But you know, that's a different podcast. I'll save that one for my other podcast.
That's After Hours.
Yeah, that's the After Hours podcast. Okay, so we're approaching an hour of us talking. So I got one more question before we get out of here. Then, and it's kind of in your same vein. And so this is a say something happens. Say we go to LA and we throw up a stinker, right? Say we go to Miami, we throw up a stinker, we start piling up some losses. Maybe we don't lose every game, but we end up squeaking into the playoffs and getting kicked out of the first round. Would you consider this season a success with winning Leagues Cup?
I would have to say yes to a degree. Why? Just because we're a club that competes, like wants to compete for trophies. And this team, the way that it's been playing, for them to just fall off a cliff and go through another hangover like they did in 2022, it would be a disappointment not only to the fans but to the players themselves, because they know what they're capable of. Like, how are you going to go from beating the best player in the world to getting kicked out of the first round of the playoffs? It's just, I would be disappointed in the season. Like, yeah, Leagues Cup, I'm going to remember it as one of the highs, but to just crash out of the playoffs in the first round, it would just, you know, that would be a very, very low point of the season.
So let me rephrase the question for you then. We finish out the rest of the year good, but we still fall out of fifth. I think there's scenarios where we can still have a good remainder of the year, but we still finish at fifth with LAFC behind us, right? And so then we, for that best of three, we have two games in Minnesota, one game in Seattle. Are we beating Minnesota?
We would know, because if we're at the fifth seed, we play LA, I think.
Oh, you think we'd play LA?
Yeah, we play LAOC, because I seen a graphic earlier, because we're basically switched. It's mm-hmm. flip-flopped, and we play them in the first round.
But I think they have enough games in hand that they could end up third, right? And so there's a scenario where Minnesota's fourth and we're fifth, I believe.
If we play Minnesota, I like our chances in a best of three. Like, I'm sure we're gonna be able to, you know, beat the bunker. We'll have Morris back, and the way that these guys are playing, I don't know if Minnesota's style of play can actually, you know, win an MLS Cup.
Yeah.
We seen who went and beat them at home. Was it Colorado went and beat them at home the week before we went? Like, so it's not, they're beatable. It's not like they're unbeatable.
And they looked much better against Colorado than they did against us. It just so happens they got an amazing shot, and we just couldn't get the ball to go in, even though we had a lot of shots on target. Cedar, what about you? We're out the first round of the playoffs. Is this season still a success?
Man, first round, I mean, obviously I'd be disappointed, but I think we've now shown that we're probably capable of being the best team in MLS just based on our play, even though the results lead up to, you know, in the totality of the season, we aren't on paper the best team, right? It's not like we're going to win Supporter Shield, right? Or, you know, get the one seed realistically at all. But I think we are going to make the playoffs. And I think if we crash out of the playoffs in the first round, I think it's going to leave everybody feeling like there was so much left on the table, even with all of the injuries we've had, right? Suspensions, all this kind of stuff. We've really tested the depths of this team, and we won a trophy with that, which is incredible. But I think, you know, the Leagues Cup is a competition that kind of appears out of thin air every year, right? And then it kind of vanishes, right? And we won it, and we made it. I think we gave to that competition kind of the best energy that it may receive for a long time, based on the circumstantial factors of us hosting, us making it, it being against Messi, packing the house. I mean, is there a better atmosphere in Major League Soccer than a packed Lumen Field? I don't think so. So we kind of gave it all the juice that we could, and that's amazing. And that's going to be, like you guys are saying, I mean, that's going to be a great memory, one that we're going to be, you know, we're hardly going to forget for the rest of our lives, right? But I do think that given that the main prize every MLS season is MLS Cup, if we don't make a genuine, concerted, real push to it, I mean, I think it's honestly, we need to make it to MLS Cup and then see how that game plays out. I mean, and if we don't get over that hump, I'm going to be disappointed. And maybe you can point fingers at, you know, maybe not signing somebody who could have helped us in the stretch, you know, down, you know, towards the playoffs, right, from the summer. Maybe it's Brian Schmetzer, you know, maybe his tactics are off. Maybe it's the players not caring, whatever it might be that eventually, you know, takes us out if that happens. Or maybe we just get beat by a better team. But I don't think that there's a team capable of being truly better than we are at this point. I'm going to be super disappointed. And I think that it, as a whole, the season will be, it'll be, again, another kind of failure. Not a I mean, this is so hard to say, like success, failure. It'll just be gravely disappointing. But I don't think it'll be like, oh, okay, now we got to fire everybody or anything like that. It'll just be extremely disappointing, which, you know, as a Seattle fan, that's, you get used to it, but
it would be, you know, a season of what ifs, what could have been.
I mean, but the Sounders are, our, you know, that's our, that's Seattle's golden child right now, you know, for men's professional sports in this country. So I think that, you know, yeah, I'll be disappointed and I will feel like there was something left on the table there.
That's a good answer. I think I'd be disappointed too, but getting a trophy in the way that we did it is going to keep me high for a long time.
Yes.
So with that, any last words, any parting words that y'all got? I got to go feed Cameron, so it's I need to go let him out of his basement.
Oh, you need to get him some chicken noodle soup.
All right. Well, to everybody out there listening, thank you. Join the Patreon. It's cool. And if you don't want to do that, come check out the Discord. Come chat with us. It's a lot of fun, and we're expanding the Discord. We now have, you know, we talk about other things besides the Sounders too. It's there's a lot of just Seattle sports going on in there. So come check it out. I'm gonna feed Cameron, and we will talk to y'all after we beat LAG.
You'll never walk alone.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.